When little ideas become big ideas, the world takes notice and is usually never the same. So look for the big ideas, and you can change the world one reader at a time. A big idea, or instructional priority these days, is to help students become independent readers across the curriculum. Tim Hall, a high school social studies teacher we meet in this module, reminds us that one of the big ideas or instructional priorities in civics is to create literate citizens. Founding father Thomas Jefferson placed education as the cornerstone of democracy. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. So it takes a literate, well-informed citizenry to succeed at self-government, and these days to compete in the new global economy, where the minimum price of admission is the basic skills of reading, writing, problem-solving, and analytical thinking. Skills that the business community has long complained that not only our high schools, but our colleges are failing to ensure our students master. The New York Times recently reported that the most recent findings from the National Assessment of Adult Literacy revealed distressing declines in literacy, especially among those with the most education. For example, fewer than a third of the college graduates, down from 40% a decade ago, were deemed proficient in terms of literacy as defined by the ability to read and understand lengthy passages placed before them. An outstanding high school English teacher recently told me how much her students enjoyed reading. Reading aloud, that is. Her reading aloud. Well, that's wonderful, I said. We never grow too old to enjoy the beauty of a well-written piece read aloud well. How often do you read aloud? Every day, she said. I do most of the reading in my class. I read practically all of the literature we're studying. You can get too much of a good thing, and in content area classrooms every day, there could be way too much reading aloud, either by the teacher, or students who like to read aloud, or the ubiquitous round robin with lots of poor readers reading aloud. Many teachers have just given up on the text altogether, and lecture and give notes, or go through the motions of assigning text to be read. In a previous module, we introduced the before, during, and after lesson design for content area lesson planning, and we shared the purposes for some tried and true strategies for the before or pre-reading. Briefly, these purposes are, first, to motivate students by helping them make personal connections and create interest. Second, to activate prior knowledge so they'll have a foundation to build on. Third, to introduce key vocabulary and concepts. And four, to help students develop metacognitive awareness of the reading demands of the assignment and the strategies necessary for effective learning. Now, these are all important, but the biggest idea of all may well be number four. If we truly succeed in helping students become independent learners in the content areas we teach, that's because when it comes to developing successful readers, the big ideas are those concepts or principles within or across content areas that have the greatest potential for enabling students to apply what they learn in varied situations. And one of these big ideas has to be metacognition. Enduring reading, when students should actually engage with the text, the big question becomes, how can we help students use their metacognitive awareness to apply what they know about the topic, the key vocabulary and concepts, and the strategies they know to learn with text? One strategy seems just too simple. We encourage our readers to write, to engage in a specific type of writing, writing annotations on their text. Writing notes to ourselves in the margins or underlining and highlighting text is something many of us feel we have to do to make a text our own. It's a way of interacting with the text, and the invention of sticky-back notepads has given us freedom to annotate books we don't own. Our first teacher leader for this module swears by annotations as a strategy that her sixth graders never seem to tire of. Meet Sandy Lee Felder, a sixth grade language arts and social studies teacher at Centennial Campus Middle School.
Anytime that we do an activity that involves text, I offer the kids the option to annotate as they read. They love to write on sticky notes if it's a text that can't be consumed. They love even more the opportunity to write all over something, write the margins and make their own symbols and highlight, and they get excited about the text, and that's what it's all about. Annotating is a skill that differentiates itself. You can always see that there are some students who will say, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. I don't understand it. And they think that's bad, but I think that's wonderful because they are at least aware of what they don't understand. So many times they say, I don't know, and they don't know what they don't know, and it's very hard to help them that way. But here they have arrows pointing to what they don't know. And on the same page, we have, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, but this poem means that every house should have a children's hour and every time and a time when children should spend time with their parents. And then we have, you know, the students who are identifying metaphors and similes because they've learned that and they feel good about that. We have comments that say, I don't use occupation in my everyday language. I don't know what that means. And I think it's great just that they interact with it. They love it. At one point, I have a student who's questioning herself, well, does he not like his children? Because he says, I will put you down in the dungeon. And then she reads the next line and you see her erase. And it says, in the round tower of my heart. And she realizes that he loves his children. And seeing these annotations is much more helpful, I think, than the assignment that I would have had them do, because I can actually see how they're thinking. I think that annotation helps kids think about their own thinking. Most readers, when we read, most good readers, we do this automatically. We are automatically interacting with the text. We have feelings. We have emotions. We know when we're feeling strongly, and we know when we're confused. Sometimes kids need that extra little help to figure out what it is they feel about a text. And annotation helps them do that. It's not just what they know that's important, it's also how they feel and how they respond to the text.
What a simple but powerful strategy to have students record their interactions with the text by making annotations. Annotations, as Sandy Lee reminds us, about how they're feeling and thinking. Another big idea for reading effectively across all content areas is text organization. That's the physical presentation of text and text structures. Understanding text organization enables readers to identify main ideas and the relations between main ideas or concepts so they can become independent readers across the curriculum. This is a research-based instructional priority because reading researchers Dixon Simmons and Kamea Nui in a meta-analysis have found strong empirical evidence that readers' awareness of text structure is highly related to text comprehension. We'll return to Sandy Lee Felder's classroom in our first mini-documentary to see how she teaches students to understand text organization by first modeling and then having them develop their own graphic organizers for the text they read. Another highlight of Sandy Lee's lesson is an update on the oldie but goodie strategy known as KWL, what students know, want to know, and learn about a topic. Sandy Lee's update is a successful attempt to solve the common problem of apathy, when students often respond less than enthusiastically about what they want to learn. She primes the pump by beginning with a consensus-building strategy to learn what her students know and think is important, and then give some interesting text about diverse aspects of the topic to pique her students' interest. Then she closes with a consensus building to encourage her students to invest in and feel some ownership of this unit of study, in this case, about America's involvement in World War II. The strategy concludes with students writing reflectively about what they've learned over the course of the unit. Then in our second mini-documentary, we'll visit Tim Hall's civics classroom, where the topic is political parties. You'll see a bipartisan performance by Tim for a very partisan audience of students that he engages with a pre-reading survey to help them reflect on their own views, and then a note-taking strategy he calls interactive notebooks, and finally a Bloom's taxonomy-based guided reading as a during reading strategy. The interactive notebooks serve as both pre- and during reading strategy, since the students can use them to guide their independent reading. The only thing we'll miss is the after-reading Socratic seminar, which is bound to be exciting when Tim's literate young citizens bring their opinions to the platform. The Socratic Seminar is a variation of the Padea Seminar we were first introduced to in Module 2 on Conversation as a Literacy to Learn Tool. Don't forget that we also learned about reciprocal teaching in that module, which is a research-based during reading strategy that integrates the two big ideas of metacognition and collaborative learning. So, remember the power of during reading strategies for helping young students become independent readers and thinkers and prepare them to come up with their own big ideas.